Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Hey, it's my mom.
Mama.
And Glenn Leverins.
That's how I know.
This is Morning Air.
On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
It's Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins and studio producer Sarah Tafoya. Yes, she is back. Thanks so much for joining us early this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the new Relevant Radio app. Can you believe it that today is already the seventh day of Lent? How is your Lent going so far? Now, if you haven't signed up for Father Rocky's new Lenten Lessons on the Mass, it is still not too late. You can do it this morning at relevantradio.com/Lent. You can get ready to learn the Mass, live the Mass, and love the Mass more than ever before. That's relevantradio.com/Lent. I want to bring in Glenn and Sarah, the full team, once again. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines on this Tuesday morning?
Well, everybody figures that it was Vladimir Putin that had a lot to do with the end of Alexei Navalny in prison, his largest critic. President Biden says he's open to more sanctions on Russia. I'm not sure that that will do any more good. The country already sanctioned for almost 2 years of warfare against Ukraine, but I don't know what folks can do. There's some two dozen opposition, you know, people that have opposed Putin that are no longer with us, John.
Yeah, it's obviously a very sad story with the way in which that he died. We don't know exactly the conditions. We don't know the whereabouts of his body, according to his wife. And she appeared yesterday. I saw some video of her grief-stricken, said that, you know, half of her heart was taken away, but she was going to continue the cause of Alexei Navalny.
Yeah, she plans to take up the cause there. But it's no big surprise to anyone, and people should be aware here. It's 2024, and dictators are still behaving like that.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, Nikki Haley is in the news this morning.
That's right, the big South Carolina primary coming up this Saturday. Haley trailing in polls by some 30 points, expected to give a speech today to talk about the state of the presidential election at this point, and nobody knows exactly what she'll be saying, but she does have financial support to keep in it for a while. Again, we're only, you know, a couple of contests in, and it's actually not common this early in a presidential season to have so many candidates fall away, but in the polling, Mr. Trump has a pretty big lead, but he also has a pretty full court docket, which is highly unusual as well, so perhaps she's hanging around to see what might happen with that.
Yeah, that might be part of her strategy. She also has a lot of money behind her, a lot of big Republican pockets that are backing her. So she has said that she's going to continue on and plans on staying in the race through Super Tuesday. So on the other hand, there are some who are speculating about today's speech as to what she may say. Could she possibly be throwing in the towel? We'll have to wait and see.
I think she might be announcing her own line of sneakers, perhaps.
Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't that be something? Yeah. They're still talking about the Trump sneakers.
But are they buying them? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe he's trying to, again, still raise some money. What if he's coming door to door to your house selling cookies or something, looking to raise that $300-plus million he owes? Wow.
Well, hey, I tell you what. He's got some serious issues to deal with because of course he's appealing that huge nearly $400 million judgment, but that still means that he's got to come up with at least 10% of the bond, and that is a lot of liquid money to come up with.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there, and you know, the few family members that weren't part of that can still kind of run things for him. So it doesn't necessarily mean the collapse of his empire. But, you know, if he would have to pay that full fine, that definitely would put a dent in it.
Meanwhile, she's back on the other side of the glass.
I don't see any Mickey ears, but Sarah is back.
You know what? You're only allowed to wear those in the park, I think. I've heard that when you go to Disney World, which is where I went, like Patrick Mahomes. No, he went to Disneyland. I missed him. That's right. But I went to Disney World with my family. It was so much fun, and we got to see Mickey and Minnie and all the cast of characters. And, you know, it's interesting. There's not many places in America where spontaneously a parade just starts showing up and walking down the street and you're asked to step aside and you're happy to do so. You're on a busy mission, but then all of a sudden there's characters and there's music and there's dancing and there's balloons and everyone stops crying for a few seconds. It's a wonderful place to hang out and spend some time with the family. And we did. We had a great time.
The fireworks show every night. I think at 9 o'clock they do the fireworks.
In almost every park except for Animal Kingdom, because they, you know, obviously there's animals who live there. They didn't sign up for constant bombing sounds. But the other parks, yes, there's fireworks every night. And it's, they, you know, switch it up, like, you know, every now and then. I don't know how long, but like every other year or something, there's different fireworks and different shows. And there's lights and there's lasers. And it's very magical. They go all out. Me and my sister said, hey, this is better than any 4th of July fireworks we've ever seen. So we did catch a couple of those fireworks shows. And we did find some things out, you know, about the kids. When you're doing this, it's you know, not kind of like that fun relaxation, you know, retreat where you just go and you're sitting by the pool and drinks come to you. And it's
very
relaxing.
It was a little different than that De Monterville silent retreat we hear so much about.
Just a little bit different, man. It was like hardcore, you know, like right now they're an hour ahead. So while it's 6 o'clock, our time here in Chicagoland area, it's 7 o'clock there. So, I mean, I think I woke up maybe just slightly later than I do for this show because we had to get to the park and you want to get to your rides. And so we were up and at them and flying
around.
Well,
kids were having fun. Let's go, kids. Come
exactly.
On,
hey, you're
fun.
Going too slow. Yeah. I was like, you know, there was a lot of, you know, stepping time. Get it up here. Come on. Keep moving. We need to get to the next ride. So they kind of got used to it after a while.
All right. What was the consensus from the kids? Which one was their favorite ride?
Ooh. You know what? We've asked this multiple times, and every single time they can't say one. We had to be like, what was your favorite per park? Because there's so many fun rides. I mean, if you go to the Magic Kingdom, they have them packed in there like sardines. There's a million rides to go on. There's just no way you can get to all of them in one day. But a lot of the roller coasters, the kids were old enough and tall enough to be on, so we experienced a lot of those, so a lot of fun there. The one roller coaster that I would say hands down was the best one I've probably been on maybe ever, just really, really fun ride, was the Guardians of the Galaxy ride they have at Epcot. And that one is not one that you can just wait in line for. You have to get in this virtual queue to get on the ride, which was very different.
So you went to both the Magic Kingdom and Epcot.
We went to Animal Kingdom and we went to Hollywood Studios. We hit up each of the four parks. So yeah, we were at one of each one and we closed two of them out. And a couple of days we cut out early because that's a lot of long days. But yeah, we had a lot of fun and we went on a lot of rides. And this is what I found out about the baby, Lucy. She doesn't like when air blows near her. And a lot of the rides, for whatever reason, just for fun, there's air blowing. So she was doing quite a few tears on some of these rides that are supposed to be magical. We're like, Disney, too much breathing. There's too much air blowing on this poor baby.
Do they still have the Hall of Presidents?
Oh, they sure do. And my mother wants to go every single time she went with us. And she made sure that was on her agenda. We did have a clipboard of fun, and she made sure that was on there because she always likes to see that.
I'd love to hear what our current president looked like in the hall.
Sure. Yeah, you know, actually, that was a ride I did not go on because I had a baby who was sleeping. But I heard that it was very good. Yes, he was in there. President Biden was in there, as long with all the other ones. It's just crazy how they get the likeness. Just so exact. And, you know, these animatronics are so lifelike. It's very cool. It's a very nice experience to be on. I've been on it in the past, and it's very, very cool just to kind of be there. And very patriotic. You know, you really feel proud of your country when you can experience, be immersed in it in that way.
Yeah, you bring back a lot of memories, Sarah. I've been to Disney and Epcot, Magic Kingdom many, many times over the years. My favorite memory, Joseph, my son, got his first haircut at the Magic Kingdom right there on Main Street, USA. I'll never forget it. We took home the little locks and, of course, his little Mickey ears.
Very nice.
We still have them.
Yeah, very good. I mean, the hair or the ears or both?
Both.
Very good. Okay.
Stored in a little bag.
Don't lose either one. Those are precious memories. Yeah, Disney, very good at making sure that memories are around. In fact, we got a balloon And one of it was like a balloon, and then inside was another balloon with a Mickey shape with ears, and the one ear deflated. And one of the balloon guys saw it and said, "Let me give you another balloon." So we were like, "Hey, we'll take it. Very nice." So they want to make sure that, I think it was more like they didn't want everyone knowing there's a defective balloon out there. It was more for that advertising than it was for us, but it was very nice to get, hey, a nice balloon.
So Glenn, Sarah looks at least a couple of shades darker this morning.
A little tan in the Florida sun there. And you got me thinking about the mouse ears. And I was a bad parent, I guess. You know, we didn't go when the kids were little. And the only time my wife and I had ever been to Disney was about 10 years ago. So well into adulthood with some, it was Disneyland out in California. Actually, she had a distant cousin that worked as a pyrotechnician out at Disney. But we went with some extended family. And Jen was so happy, had been longing for so long to get those mouse ears. She wore them on the plane on the way home. And you know, it was a busy trip, and so she fell asleep kind of leaning over, you know, kind of in front of me a little bit. So me, who is old school, I like to read on the plane, and so I'm reading my book, looking through the mouse ears leaning over in front of me as she's trying to keeping the drool off the pages
Nice.
She's sleeping. And so that was my mouse ears experience, but great to have you back, Sarah.
Well, maybe you can wear your mouse ears on Friday since it's casual Friday.
I probably could. Well, if I remember, I will definitely wear them because I have at least two different pairs, so it'll be fun.
All right. More next hour of Sarah's adventures, as always. Thanks so much. We begin every morning in prayer, as we always do, always giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings. We pray through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, as we continue to pray for peace in the world, especially in the Middle East and Ukraine, as we're coming up on the two-year anniversary. We pray for peace in our nation, peace in our church, and in our families. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the playbook of life this morning is from Ephesians 2:8 through 10. The Apostle St. Paul writes, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God." Our salvation is all about faith because everything depends on faith. Everything is grace. We are saved by grace through faith working in love. According to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, believing in Jesus Christ and in the one who sent him for our salvation is necessary for obtaining that salvation. This is why the letter of the Hebrews says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And this is why St. Paul tells us that we must walk by faith and not by sight. And we always pray with great confidence from the Chapel of Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you. We need to take a short break when Morning Air continues. Catholic writer and speaker Laura DiMaria will be with us to talk about how pregnant women and sick people can still observe Lent without fasting. So stay with us as we are just getting going here on this Tuesday morning as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our email, if you want to reach us directly with any thoughts or story ideas, is morningair@relevantradio.com. You can find us on X, formerly Twitter, at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you might want to just jot down our number. It's 888-914-9149 if you want to be part of the program. Again, 888-914-9149, sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Now, Lent is known as a time for fasting, but for pregnant women, this may not be a realistic option. Perhaps if you are sick or you're over 65 years of age, you'll find yourself in a similar boat. Joining us live this morning from Metro Washington, D.C. is Catholic writer and speaker Laura DeMaria to talk about how pregnant women can still observe Lent without fasting, without jeopardizing their health and their baby's health as well. Laura's a revert to the faith, her personal website where she writes on topics including personal development, spiritual study, and living the Catholic faith in daily life can be found at lauradimaria.com. Good morning, Laura. Happy Lent. Thanks so much for joining us once again. It's great to be with you.
Good morning, John. Great, as always, to be with you, and likewise, happy Lent.
Well, Laura, what can pregnant moms do and to still observe Lent without in any way jeopardizing their health or their baby's health?
Yeah, so it turns out there's actually a lot that pregnant women can do. And like you say, this also applies to anybody else who, for whatever health reason, would be exempt from the typical guidelines around fasting. And when I'm talking about fasting, I don't necessarily mean fasting from sweets or alcohol or something like that. I mean, particularly alcohol, pregnant women are probably already fasting from that. But anything that says, you know, consume just one small meal a day, or anything that limits any sort of nutrients that you should be getting, you know, pregnant women should be getting lots of protein, for example. So maybe you don't give up meat. So that's what I mean by fasting. But regardless, even if that's something that you can't do for health reasons because you're expecting or otherwise, there's a lot of other stuff that you can do. And I think the first thing to do is think about other ways to fast and other things to give up, because food is not the only thing that you can fast from. So I always appreciate hearing advice on other ways to fast, like other things to give up, because bottom line, Lent is about removing the things from your life that make it more difficult for you to be in relationship with God. So any of those things that we kind of rely on for comfort, or are kind of vices, or just bad habits that we have, it's not about giving them up for, you know, like your own defeating yourself and sort of proving something to yourself. It's specifically to get rid of those things that are in the way of your having a relationship with God. So other things that you can fast from, aside from food or you know, certain amounts of eating, are a little less physical. Like, for example, gossip. Could we fast from gossip, or spending too much time on social media, or get rid of the habit of scrolling on your phone before bed? Self-criticism is a wonderful thing to fast from during this time. Not because we should just accept ourselves totally for who we are all the time and we're perfect, but because those voices, those negative voices in our head, can really get in the way of our, again, having this authentic relationship with God. So it's not that you can't fast, it's just the things that you're fasting from. And that's one place for pregnant women and others who aren't doing a typical Lent where they can start.
There are some folks who give up candy, as an example, mm-hmm. During Lent. And then at the end of Lent, by the time Easter Sunday rolls around, they're just craving and dying to stuff themselves with candy.
Yeah, or on the other hand, I mean, I have found this to be the case some years. I get to the point where I don't need it anymore. You know, I think, oh, I don't know how I was, you know, having a piece of chocolate every day after lunch or something like that. So, yeah, it's interesting, people's different experiences during Lent with giving things up and how challenging or not it will ultimately be for each person.
All right. Now, what about pregnant women? What else could they possibly give up?
Well, last time I was with you all a couple weeks ago, we talked about the concept of offering something up. Specifically suffering, which you typically do through prayer. And as we know, when you're pregnant, there's lots of opportunities to suffer. You could be physically very uncomfortable. You could have morning sickness. You could have swollen ankles. You could have back pain, all kinds of stuff. But then there's also the mental suffering too. You know, there's anxiety about your child's health or about your finances or what work is going to be like. So there's lots to offer up. And Lent is a very prayerful time. So this really works, you know, it really fits. And if you're going to be, fasting is a way of suffering, right? But you could really look at it like there's already other things in your life that are forms of suffering that you can offer up. So really, no matter what trimester you're in, pregnancy offers lots of opportunities to suffer well. And that may sound like a weird phrase, but I think it's one that as Catholics, you know, you hear it and kind of instinctually you understand suffering well, like that's what saints do. You know, that's what we're called to do at any point in our lives. So during Lent, offering up those annoyances, irritations, discomforts for a higher purpose, you know, giving them back to God in prayer and asking him to use them, that's a way to suffer well during Lent.
Okay, so Laura, you're saying that during pregnancy, you should, you know, there's other ways to kind of give up things. So I remember when I was pregnant, I really disliked going up and down the stairs constantly.
Yes.
So I shouldn't have just given up going up and down the stairs, made other people do it, just offer up the annoyance and the frustration and that I want to run up the stairs and I can't run up the stairs because I'm out of breath just walking slowly up the stairs.
Yeah.
That's what I should have been doing, right? Because these are the little things that, like you said,
did your ankles get swollen?
Sometimes they did, yeah. So I should have offered my ankles up onto a table instead of trying to, no, that's not what you're talking about.
well, sure, why not? Yeah, no, that it's so funny. Yeah, the stairs, oh man. that is not fun while you're pregnant. But yes, exactly. However, you know, I'll actually add in a word for dads here, because we know a lot of times husbands, fathers take on a lot during their wife's pregnancy. So for the men, if you're the ones who's having to run up and down the stairs on behalf of your wife, you can offer up that suffering. You may have something else you want to be doing at that moment. But yes, so that's the idea, is that these things that are just, you just accept them as moments of discomfort during your pregnancy, just offer it up.
Yeah, we don't get swollen ankles, but we might get sore knees running up and down the stairs.
Right.
Laura, what about adding something? And again, this applies to pregnant moms, but it also applies to everyone. There's always something that we can add to our Lenten practices.
Yeah, so let's not forget that Lent is not just about subtracting. It's not just about suffering through the absence, that, you know, the chosen absence of something. So when you add something, typically that means for anyone, prayer or spiritual reading. For moms, isn't that perfect? Because, you know, we need time to put our feet up and relax and rest a little bit, and you can use that time for either additional prayer or spiritual reading. So in terms of prayer, whether you have a prayer practice or not already, it's a matter of either augmenting your existing prayer routine or adding something. So, you know, anytime I've ever been on the show to talk with you all about prayer, we always say, pray the rosary, add a rosary if you're not already doing it. So that's thing number one. If the rosary is not already a part of your prayer routine, go ahead and add that. But there's lots of devotionals. You could add a holy hour, you know, go to your church and do a holy hour, do that at home. I really love the Litany of Trust. If anyone has never heard of the Litany of Trust,
oh my goodness, it's fantastic. I actually have it here in studio with me. And we're actually planning on talking to the sister who wrote it. It is just a beautiful devotion, and really, you know, it's so relevant here during the Lenten season.
It's a Dominican sister who wrote it, right?
Yes. No, actually, she's with the Sisters of Life.
Oh, right. Yeah. So that it's even more relevant that a member of the Sisters of Life wrote something for, you know, that can be really relevant for pregnant women. And just the concept of, I call that one out in particular because the concept of trust during Lent, I think, is very important, meaning trust in God, you know, kind of believing his promises, believing the miracle of his death and resurrection. And while you're pregnant, you really have to trust that things are going to go the way that God goes. You know, my experience of pregnancy is that it's amazing that your body just does what it's supposed to do. The baby just goes. Like, there's not a whole lot for you to do other than to be healthy and trust in God. So the Litany of Trust is a beautiful prayer to add. And you can also pray for others' intentions too. That's another way to add in something to your prayer routine. And then the other thing that I mentioned around spiritual reading. So we know that there's lots of Lenten-specific books out there, you know, some that are written modern day. You know, Bishop Fulton Sheen has a whole book of his meditations and talks and things. Lent was a really big deal in his ministry. there's daily devotionals, there's things that you can read something in your journaling at the same time, you know, or find a book that has a particular theme of something in your spiritual life that you're working on. So women who are pregnant or older people or children, add prayer, add spiritual reading, and that's a way to really get something out of your Lent.
Yeah, these ideas are fabulous for pregnant women, but, you know, they could apply to just mm-hmm. about anybody. In fact, I'm literally holding in my hand this wonderful book that I have been reading one chapter at a time every day, written by our very own Morning Air contributor, Gary Zimek, Give Up Worry for Lent. And it is so outstanding, based on scripture, and it just, it really, really helps you to really focus on what it's all about, trusting in the Lord here during the Lenten season. So doing that, and also just reading a chapter a day right out of scripture. And, you know, again, I'm obviously not pregnant, but this applies to everybody, including pregnant moms.
Mm-hmm. And that concept of giving up worry, there you go again, of that's an example of you're fasting, you know, quote unquote, from something that isn't food. You're giving up something. And whether we want to accept it or not, a lot of us, we can be addicted to our worries. We think that that's how we're in control of our lives. And that can be hard for people to give up something like worry, or to give up something that, you know, it takes some introspection to realize, boy, this is really, you know, a negative habit in my life that's really a crutch and is really keeping me from living authentically. So that sounds great.
All right, Laura, Sarah's over there grinning because I said, of course I'm not pregnant. You know what I meant.
In today's world, John, we're never sure. But yes, right. You're right. Of course you're not pregnant. You're a man.
But again, like we said, the dads definitely have a role, and they can take on a lot of these things too.
For sure. What else can mm-hmm. a pregnant mom do here during this Lenten season?
So another thing that is a component of Lent is works of service. So volunteering. Now, if you are really late in your pregnancy, you know, and it's hard to get around and you just quite frankly don't feel like it, that's okay. You know, or maybe it's early in your pregnancy and you don't feel like it either for other reasons. That's okay, because you can do certain works of mercy or volunteering from home. If you're, you know, someone who is, or if you're older and that's the reason why you're not doing kind of some of the traditional Lenten fasting sort of stuff, maybe you're totally mobile and that's great. So just volunteering, finding things that really call to you. Of course, all of us during Lent, our parishes are sort of overloaded with activities, I feel like. You know, I'm thinking about, I was looking at the bulletin for my church yesterday. There's food drives and there's places and people to visit and, you know, bring things to. If you need to help people from home, a really simple way to do that is, for example, just putting together donations for a food pantry or a crisis pregnancy center or something like that. That is a work of service, you know, and it's perfectly acceptable, and it's a wonderful way to offer something back to God, you know, to volunteer. And I have one last idea for everybody, which is go to confession.
Bingo. For sure.
So anybody and everybody can do that. I don't think that there's any sort of extra specialness of going to confession during a liturgical season. Maybe there is. I don't know. I think that'd be a question for a priest. But to me,
we've got a bishop
feels
coming up momentarily in the next segment. We're going to talk about this very topic. So this is
perfect. Oh, great. Yeah. So obviously, it's important to go to confession any time of year, but it really feels like there's some deeper meaning if you do it during a liturgical season. And a time like Lent, when you are supposed to be thinking about humility and kind of your own sins and the things that you're giving up, for most people, confession is not fabulously comfortable. So it really fits, you know, to go do this thing where you have to really look at yourself and examine your conscience and say, okay, this is how I have fallen short. So everybody should go to confession during Lent, no matter what situation you're in.
Well, great ideas. I really appreciate it. As always, thanks so much for being with us, Laura.
Thank you so much for having me, and wishing everybody a very fruitful Lent.
Thanks again. Catholic writer and speaker Laura DeMaria. You can find her at lauradeMaria.com. Joining us from Metro Washington, D.C. We need to take a short break, and when we come back, Bishop Brendan Cahill, the Bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas, will be with us to talk further about going to confession during Lent. So stay with us. There's much more to come as this Tuesday edition of Morning Air continues here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is Morning Air, your home for faith, fun, and news in the morning.
Man, I'm talking about a big God, big God. When trouble comes around the way, only remedy for big odds is a big God. Ain't nobody gonna shake my faith.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning across much of our nation here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. You can email us directly. It's morningair@relevantradio.com. And our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Now, as we continue this Lenten season, today I believe is day seven. It's a great idea to go to confession, as we alluded to in the previous segment. The great theologian Saint Augustine called the confessional the medicine box. Why? Because there is a physician there, and we are injured and need healing. We go in with our sins, and we come out cleansed. Now, when you went to church on Ash Wednesday, you probably heard the priest say, repent and believe in the gospel. Why is God asking us to repent, and why is Lent a great opportunity to go to confession? Joining us live this morning is Bishop Brendan Cahill to tell us much more about the importance of confession, especially during Lent. Bishop Cahill is the third bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. He's also the bishop promoter for Stella Maris, the Seafarers Ministry. Your Excellency, Bishop Cahill, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us. It's a joy to be with you once again.
Good morning. God bless you, John, and all listeners on today. It's great to be with you. A little background, kind of thinking for today, we had a big men's conference in Victoria this last Saturday, and it's a group of leaders of men in our diocese who want to do it the first Saturday of Lent every year for reflection. And this year for their theme, they chose, this is my body, this is my blood, Eucharistic revival, preparing our hearts to really understand the love of Jesus and the Eucharist that he's giving us. And so we heard several talks, and we even had like Coach Lou Holtz, from former Notre Dame coach, came to Victoria, gave a great talk, and some other ones.
Wow, he's one of my all-time favorite coaches.
He's awesome. I mean, we have fathers with sons, and just a great, like 300 or 400 men listening, and it's one of the things that this is a fantastic conference. But and the thing that kind of came out through different talks and different people talking was this connection of confession as a cleansing of our soul to fully receive the Eucharist. And in a sense, our goal is to understand the love that Jesus has for all of us, for the whole world, and for us to prepare ourselves by acknowledging our own sinfulness, praying for God's help and grace, trusting in it, and that it's an expression of God's love, the mercy that flows from God's heart. And so in a sense, on a very practical thing, Lent is the perfect time. I know for our listeners, we're believers, we understand the Catholic Church and the beauty of the church, and that there are opportunities in your church, whether the regular Saturday time or the penance services, to go during Lent, but also to begin to think about, how about the next time? Will it be next month? Will it be in a couple of months? That, you know, the duty is once a year before Easter, so you can receive communion with a pure heart, fullness of the Holy Spirit. But also to think, maybe begin to think in advance, like, this may be a practical practice that I want to do, you know, maybe even monthly, and just have a regular cleansing of my soul, looking at my conscience, and then trusting in God's mercy. I know some places it's hard because they made it be hard to find the priest and be able to go to confession. But most of our places, like here, we have the priest, and it's kind of making excuses to say I can't go.
Well, I got to believe there was probably some pretty long confession lines at that men's conference in Victoria, as they typically are at men's conferences. You know, when men are together like that, it's a great opportunity to go to the Lord and ask for his mercy.
Oh, my goodness. It's fantastic. I mean, it's beautiful because the healing and turning back to the Lord. And actually, like you started with, repent and believe, a time to turn back to the Lord, enter more deeply into the Lenten practice. And in a sense, it's preparing you for the rest of the year. It's almost like a new year. Like say, how do I prepare for Easter by preparing my heart? And then that's the practical conference like that is like saying, well, after this, how do you plan the rest of the year? What are your things you want to do prayer-wise? What do you want to do with your family? What do you want to do just for your Sunday, making your Sunday a holy day? How do we, you know, sometimes we get kind of almost sloppy about it, but how do we make the holy day God's day and make my priority is God who created me to listen to his voice and understand what God is calling me to do? Or am I just kind of, you know, taking it easy and, you know, kind of doing my own will? And so, it was a great time. And so I thought it was a great practical thing to focus on. Well, how do we prepare for confession in Lent? Because even that, I think sometimes we might just say, okay, I'll go to the penance service and I'll get it out of the way type thing. And it's much more than that. It's really like kind of look into my heart and then maybe take a spiritual reading or something. And of course, the radio have a lot of good resources here, but to do a good examination of conscience. I tend to say for myself, I think the root of all evil is self-will, that I place my will over God's will. So I need to look at my life. How am I listening to God's word each day? So, I mean, I say we can start. At least listeners, we're listening to Catholic radio, so we're listening for the teaching of Jesus. And then are there other times of the day that I have maybe a scriptural devotional, a good Catholic scriptural devotional? If I can go to daily Mass, do I go to daily Mass? The rosary, and obviously not that you have to pray it every day, but do you have a devotion, maybe like the rosary, a Marian devotion? Kind of think of how am I listening to the teaching of God given through the Catholic Church each day, and then how do I feel God leading me? And is there something I've been kind of putting off? Like I feel like I should do 15 minutes of quiet time each day, but I find myself preoccupied or too busy to do it. And, you know, maybe I can put more time into that. But I would say begin with how am I listening to God's voice? Can I hear God's voice better? And I think that kind of leads to the awareness of how I am maybe not paying attention to people around me. I'm not taking care of the poor in my community. I could be a better father, mother, husband, wife, son, daughter. There are things that I could do better within my relationships.
Excellency, I want to open up the phone lines. If any of our listeners that are tuned in here this morning, if you have any questions or any comments for Bishop Cahill about the importance of the sacrament of confession, especially during this Lenten season. If you have any thoughts you want to share with us, any experiences of going to confession, of the joy that maybe you have felt from going to confession, we'd love to hear from you. We're taking your calls for Bishop Cahill at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Excellency, can you talk briefly about a few of the requirements for a valid confession?
Yeah, I would say, first of all, you truly have to be sorry for your sins. And so, in a sense, when you reflect upon it, there's an important distinction as a confessor, because we live in a world where there could be habits are so strongly formed that you almost feel like, well, I'm going to do it again. You know, why do I even confess it, because I'll be sinning again. And so sometimes I think the devil, again, to look at the spiritual realm, there is evil, there is good, and the devil is trying to take our soul away from the mercy of God. That's how we're created. And I think that the evil one sometimes gets us to give into despair, like, oh, I've been, I'm just going to lie again, or I'm going to do whatever again, so why do I even confess it? But what we're saying is you have to have a true contrition of heart, where you say, Lord, I want all your help, all your guidance, everything to help me be a better person. And our faith teaches us, if we have a truly contrite heart, a humble contrite heart, you will not spurn. That's Psalm 51, that the Lord in his goodness listens and offers his mercy and grace. So the first is, you know, doing a good examination of conscience, but really have a true sorrow for our sins to see how it affects other people, how it takes me away from who I could be in the mercy of God. And then, in a sense, to be willing to say these out loud, to confess to a priest. And so, in a sense, you have the contrition, the true sorrow. You have the openness to accept the teaching of the Catholic Church that the priest is in the person of Christ, and more than just confessing to the human being and expecting like a counseling or advice or things like that. What he offers is forgiveness and mercy and some words of hope that, you know, with whatever spiritual struggle we're going through, that God is with us and God is walking on the journey. And we, you understand, sometimes it's just baby steps, just get a little bit better each day as, you know, you're working with people. And then the priest will ask, you know, obviously he'll ask you to do a penance. And a different priest, we pray, you know, to what our penances are. We give different penances. And, you know, it's, but we trust that it's appropriate. So, yeah, I tend to be the Our Father, Hail Mary, say a few prayers, trust in God's mercy. Someone else may give, do an act of charity, do something else. Some are practical level, some may be harder, some may be easier. Whatever, the priests have their different prayerful style and discernment, but the priest will give a penance. That's a requirement for you to fulfill afterwards. And then, again, very much our Catholic understanding of sacramental life, the priest will say the prayer of absolution, which we believe is like the key that unlocks the forgiveness, that he follows in obedience to the teaching of our church. This is the prayer that the priest prays, and that we pray for the forgiveness of sins. And so at the end of the day, the most important is the contrition, because that's one thing sometimes we'll struggle with too. Like, we'll say, what if I wasn't able to make it to confession, or I went and the lines were too long, or the priest was sick, so he wasn't there. If you have a truly contrite heart and a deep sorrow for your sins and a firm, we call it purpose of amendment, a firm purpose to be better, God can forgive and will forgive that contrite heart that really has reflected on his or her sinfulness.
And Excellency, can you talk about the reality that when we go to confession, we're going to the priest, but we're really going to our Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the priest, in persona Christi. He's speaking for the Lord.
Amen. And here's another practical thing. And, you know, priests, we'll talk about that, because we say it's so sacred that, like, the one thing we could be, like, excommunicated for, if ever we broke the confidentiality of the confessional, that a priest can never share what is shared in the confessional, what's confessed. And, I mean, we've been talking about sometimes the grace, we forget it. Like, I don't even remember. Because sometimes I'll have somebody come in and they may say something like whatever in the past, and I don't remember it. And I think it's a grace for the priest in our humility to realize it's not me. And so I put it this way, it's different than, like, say, a counseling session. I might take notes and I plan on meeting someone later and I want to remember what was before. This is purely saying, I realize in my imperfection that Jesus Christ is working through me. And that's really what the person hopes for and what I offer. And then the confidence, that's the beauty, in a sense, for me, of the words, that it's not my words, it's the words that's given by the Holy Catholic Church and that offers the forgiveness. And so to understand that it's Jesus Christ himself saying those words of, you know, absolution, that you're absolved of your sins, that you're free from them. And so I think that's, I hope there's a chance, because obviously, I think about this whenever I come on the show, you know, we're listening because we love the Lord and want to follow him, and that there are opportunities for grace, and that your priests are good men with humble hearts who desire to serve in the name of Jesus, and who are just humbled by this ministry in this Lenten season. And the goal is that at Easter, when we receive the communion, we can receive it with the joy of those first Christians who knew that that's the body and blood of our Savior for the salvation of the world. And that gives us our energy and life going out.
Well, this is a great reminder of the beauty of going to confession at any time of the year, but especially here during this Lenten season. Our Lord is always there, ready with open arms to forgive us. All we have to do is ask. Excellency, can you give us your blessing?
Yes, God bless you so much, John, and all the listeners. And we pray, Almighty God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew within me a steadfast spirit. In this Lenten journey, we pray that you send forth your Spirit to grant us true contrition for our sins, a firm purpose of amendment, and a trust in your merciful love for ourselves and for the whole world. May Almighty God bless each of you and all your families with his grace and mercy this day. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. What a joy and what a blessing to be with you. Thanks so much. His Excellency, Bishop Brendan Cahill, the Bishop of the Diocese of Victoria, Texas. And now it's time once again for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Perfect Peace. There once was a king who offered a prize to the artist who'd paint the best picture of peace. Many artists tried. The king looked at all the pictures, but there were only two that he really liked, and he had to choose between them. One was a picture of a calm lake. The lake was a perfect mirror for the peaceful, towering mountains all around it. Overhead was a blue sky with fluffy white clouds. All who saw this picture thought it was the perfect picture of peace. The other picture had mountains too, but these were rugged and bare. Above was an angry sky, from which rain fell and which lightning played. Down the side of the mountain tumbled a foaming waterfall. This did not look peaceful at all. But when the king looked closely, he saw behind the waterfall a tiny bush growing in a crack in the rock. In the bush, a mother bird had built her nest, and there, in the midst of the rush of angry water, sat the mother bird on her nest in perfect peace. Which picture do you think won the prize? The king chose the second picture. You know why? Because, explained the king, peace does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. Peace means to be in the midst of all those things and still be calm in your heart. That's the real meaning of peace. John 16:33, I have told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will be with us to share some scriptural highlights intended to move us to respond to the saving love of the Lord, especially during this Lent. Plus, Professor Harry Kramer, a professor of management and strategy at Kellogg School of Management and the former CEO of Baxter, will be with us to discuss why CEOs are dying on the job. And so stay with us. There is much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air on this Tuesday here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.